Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I tell you, I just, it's good to come together with other believers and to see that God is moving and working and His will is being done upon the earth. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's nothing else that can bring life like the Word of God. There's nothing else like it. I encourage you this year to make it a promise to the Father to try to read as much of His Word as we can. Because we have to remember the Word of God is words that have been given to us from the throne room of heaven. There's no other book like this. No other like the Word of God. No other. No book comes close to this. Now, they have other good books that have been written by men and women. You know, very inspiring books. You know, books that have been given to us, which are very good and help us. But there's nothing like the Word of God with the Holy Spirit that lives in this Word. As we read, it's an amazing thing. We can read this Word and read a scripture today. And man, we get so much out of it. God speaks His Word speaks to us. We can go tomorrow and read the same scripture and God will give us something kind of different from what we read before. Just inspiring us and helping us for that day. You know, and that's how much the Word of God should mean to us as believers, to get this Word in us and through us so that it can become alive to us. You know, the only way that God, as we're going through life in 2017, the only way that God can bring up scriptures in us as we need them throughout the year is if we plant it in us. That's like, you know, digging a well and it's dry. We dig, you know, it's dug and we go to get, you know, the bucket, we put it down and we try to bring up water, but there's none in it. It's a wellspring of life, the Word of God. As we put it deep within our hearts, as we go through things, or God wants to speak something through to us, God can bring up that Word in us if it's there. It's like God putting down the bucket in our hearts. And whatever's in there is what will come up. And sometimes we may not like to see what's in there sometimes. But God wants the Word of God to come up through every situation that we go through in life. Because you see, this book has the answer to all questions of life. Every situation in life, this book, the Word of God, has the answer to whatever we need in this next year that we may have the answer to it. You know, we often think when a new year comes around, you know, they talk about turning a new leaf, you know, turning over some things, you know, leaving those things that happened in 2016 behind. And some things we may want to leave behind. You know, so, you know, we could often think of many difficulties maybe we've had as a community. We've definitely had, you know, this flooding that came across. And many people were devastated. Many people were hit hard. But also through that, we saw the power of God and His mercy upon Gaydon. You know, we may not realize, if that levee would have broken, huh, Ms. Gail? It would have been devastation for this community. But the power of God using different means, stopping it from breaking, and how God saved this community and the people and all the things that are here. How God blessed this place. Bless this place. You know, we often think of, as we start a new year, the success and difficulties and failures. But we all leave that behind. And we look towards the future in 2017. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read something about Paul. The Apostle Paul, which was not one of the 12 disciples, because I know a lot of people think, well, yeah, he was one. No, he wasn't. He was not. Now, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Thank God. God used him. You know, we often think, and this is something we need to kind of try to stay away from. We often think, well, you know, when we witnessing and sharing about God to other people, we share the goodness of God, and that's correct. And we share with people how they need to get saved and how they need to accept the Lord. But we often, you know, might even, you know, God will take care of all of our problems, and he does. But even as Christians, we go through difficult times. Even as Christians, we go through some very difficult times and hard times. The Apostle Paul went through many difficult times, but yet he did the will of the Father. He did what God wanted him to do. Now look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at starting with verse 23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes more measure, in prison more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and thrice I was suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." I want to stop right there. Here we see Paul going through many things. It says this: in prison more frequent, in death oft. Means that he was exposed to death often. Okay, five times he received 40 stripes, save one. Five times. Now, that's an amazing thing. Look at this. Excuse me. "Thrice was I beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. Thrice I was suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the depths." Here we see Paul went through some amazing things, people. 2017 with God is always great. Always. But you know what? Every one of us might go through some very difficult times. None of us know the future. You know, as far as, you know, what may happen tomorrow. We know God is coming and, you know, those types of things because of the Word of God. But no one knows the future for our lives this year. Now, we know with God, God says he's come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. John 10:10, the second part of it. But the first part says that the devil comes, what, to steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. So his aim in your life this year, the devil, this is what he wants. He wants to kill you if he can, physically and spiritually. He wants to steal everything that God gives you. And he wants to destroy you. That's the devil's role for your life and my life this year. But God's role for this year for us is that we would have life and have it more abundantly. That means flowing over with life. That doesn't mean not going through things, but the Spirit of God on the inside is manifested in our hearts and in our lives. That we take on and conquer those things that God puts before us. Even as David killed Goliath. Of all the people in that land, it should not have been David to kill him. But God was looking for a man. God was looking for someone to take on that responsibility that would go forth and destroy the enemy on the other side. That would run down in that valley and meet the enemy and take him on headstrong and destroy him. Because he was making foul remarks against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, against the army of Israel. He was saying all kinds of evil and doing all kinds of evil. God was looking, and God is looking in 2017 for men and women that would take on the sword of the Spirit of the Lord and go and battle for him. Because you see, we know we fight a spiritual war, not a physical so much with the enemy, but a spiritual war. And God is looking for men and women that stand upon the word of God, that will take that sword and cut the things of the enemy that are trying to destroy your family, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your spouses. Let me tell you, the enemy has played out all war against your family. You might say, well, you know, I don't want war. He's coming after you. Once you decided to follow Jesus, you're at war with the enemy. And that's old Slewfoot. But we know he was defeated on the cross. But it says that David said, I'll go fight. He tried to put the armor of Saul on, and it wouldn't fit. It was too big. So he took it all off, and he took what he had. Those rocks and that sling. He didn't know what God would do. If he slay me, he slay me. I tried. If he kills me, he kills me. I tried. And he looked at that enemy because he got so mad at him. And people, we need to get mad at the enemy. Old Slewfoot has done havoc upon this area and upon this community like never before. And let me tell you, 2017, he wants to bring destruction of our economy, destruction of our families, destruction of all the money that we have, destruction of our homes, spiritually and physically. He wants to destroy America. He wants to destroy our leadership. He wants to destroy every influence of God upon our country. That's his aim. And buddy, we have to take on the armor of God. We got to take on the things that God has given us and not allow the enemy to do it. We have to stand firm and say, Father, I'll go. Father, you do what you need to do and take on the sword. And you might say, well, you know, how do I? You just pray and seek God. Saying, Father, go before me and don't let the enemy do what he wants to do. But we take on the course of our God and the cause of our God. The cause of our God is souls upon this area to bring them to the saving knowledge of him. And David took off. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy, but he ran. And he took that sling and he put that rock in there, and he didn't know what was going to happen, people. We know. And he started slinging it as he was running, and he let it go. And the Holy Spirit took that rock and went right into the forehead of the enemy. One rock, one boy, used by God. You, used by God, can change things far beyond what we ever could imagine. And it says it hit him so hard that he fell forward. He was a giant in the land. He was a giant. And David ran to him, took the sword of the enemy. He could barely hold it up. He could barely take it out of the sheath of the enemy. He took it, and he went right where he needed to go, right at the neck of the enemy, and just let it fall. People, as we pray and seek God, and as the word of God goes forth, as we pray the word of God, as we pray in tongues, as we pray full of the Spirit of God, as we pray the word of God, God takes the sword of his Spirit and cuts the enemy. It just falls and cuts. It falls and cuts. It falls and cuts constantly. Falls and cuts constantly. Let me tell you, there's a great thing that God wants us as a church to do, as a community to do for him. And we need people to pray, to seek God, to be full of his Spirit. And let me tell you, I know we're not going to be perfect, because that only happens when he comes for us. But we can take on the cause of Christ. And we need to take on the cause of Christ. We need to lay down the cause and put your name in there. Lay down the cause of Joseph. Put your name in there. Lay down the cause of Joseph. And Lord, help me to take on the cause of Christ. To do what you called us to do. And that is to be the army of the believers. To take on the cause of Christ. That we tear down the walls of the enemy. And we allow and let the Spirit of God come in and do a mighty work that he needs to do. And we need to let God, the Holy Spirit, live in us and through us. And let him do a mighty work in us. See, we often think, well, you know, I have to do this or I have to do that. But I tell you what, if we line up with what God wants to do, it's his cause and he makes it happen. See, all that time as the enemy was on the other side, Goliath, and David and all the other men were there, all that time that every day that Goliath would come out in the morning and come out in the evening time and curse the God of Israel, all that time God had a plan. And God could have used any one of them. God was waiting for someone to stand up for the cause of Christ. To stand up and do what he wanted them to do. Do you think God was shouting in heaven that here Goliath was cursing him? No. He was waiting for someone to rise up, and he was looking for anyone. And David was the one that said, I'll do it. And went out there and slew the enemy. There are many enemies of the gospel. We fight things spiritually, and we tear down the walls of the enemy. 2017, I'm looking to be a year of spiritual invasion, if you want to call it, or spiritual activity of our Father like never before upon the earth. We hear of great revivals that took place many, many years ago in the early 1900s and 1800s. The great Welsh revival and all these things. I know personally, I've never experienced something like that. Those revivals that they talk about. Where the power of God was so... I've sensed the power of God and I've seen some of it, but not like what I've read. But God says in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit, people. And God is looking for a people... God is looking for a church that will humble themselves before him, that will take on his cause because he's coming. And let me tell you, I know we often think, well, everybody's going to go. No, no, no. Not everybody's gone. Those that have dedicated their lives to him, those that have given their lives to him, have accepted him as Lord and Savior, when Jesus splits those eastern skies, will go. Will go. And so we need to pronounce as the church of the living God in 2017 that God wants to move, God wants to do, God is ready to move upon this community like never before. I know just a personal excitement about what God is going to do. God has to use people to get the job done. Look at this. I want you to turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. We need to pray, listen, obey, and do what God wants us to do. We need to make a fresh commitment to Him. A fresh commitment to Him, people. You know, and I know every day, every one of us in here, I know it. Before we go to bed, you know, we'll pray and we ask God to forgive us if there was anything. You know, we make a commitment to Him because we know He's our only way. But let's make a commitment to the cause of Christ this year. To the cause of Christ this year. I want you to wake up tomorrow, or even start today, that the Word of God will be number one in your life. That you will lay down all other books. Now, I'm not saying you can't read. I'm not saying that. But lay them down and put the Word of God as number one. Number one. That's the first book that you pick up in the morning to read. That's the first book, and even the last book, that you pick up at night to read. Make it a personal commitment that prayer is something that you do with Him continuously. Now, you might say, well, where can I pray? You can pray anywhere, as people. Thank God for that, huh? You don't have to come to church. You don't have to be in a, if you want to say, quote, holy place, as people call it. You can be anywhere. You can be in your bathroom. You can be in your car. You can be walking, just praying and seeking God. That would be something that would resonate from your heart and life. That it would be a place where you communicate with Him and He communicates with you. Interesting. Also, to be a people that would be committed to the things of Christ, whether to the church where God has put you in. Committed to the things, what God wants. Also committed with your, don't get mad, with your money. I know you won't. I know that. I'm messing with y'all. She said, y'all heard what she said? No, she said she don't have enough to worry about. Golly, man. That's for sure on this end. Okay. Y'all are blessed people. Y'all are blessed people. Yeah. Amen. But your money should be dedicated to Him, people. First. What God talks about with money is what God has set up for the church and for the people. And with money, God, you know, He set it up in a way that when I get my check from here or my other employment, that I give that 10% first where? To the church. That's the way God has set it up. And in doing that, God says He will open up the windows of heaven and He will pour out a blessing upon us, me. If I'm on this end and I say, well, you know, I get my checks and I say, I don't know. The windows of heaven are not open unto me. And it stops the blessing. Stops the blessing. And God is so good to us that He says, I want to bless you, Joe. So give the way I tell you to give. And in doing so, we've seen what God can do. I want to encourage you this year, pray about it. You may say, you know, Pastor, it's hard. I live on a, and I know it's hard at times. But let me tell you, if you will obey God in giving the way he says to give, he will bless you beyond measure. Because God is a God of his word. And when God is a God of his word, and that's 100% of the time, we can expect the windows of heaven to be open. That's just like when I read his word, as he says, study to show yourself approved unto me. Study, Joe. Study. Get that word in you. Study. So you will know you are approved, and you will know how to fight the enemy. You will know who you are in Christ. You will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. See, if I know the word, he can bring that bucket of the word of God back to my remembrance. And when I need it, it's there. When we pray and seek God, God will meet the needs of our prayers. When we give like God says, God will meet the needs of our home, our church, our people, and he will bless us beyond measure, because that's what his word says. In Joel chapter 2, not that scripture yet. Joel 2:1. Says this, blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. You might say, well, are they talking about the coming of the Lord? Well, he's talking more about, and he was talking to Israel. He's saying, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Talking about the battle of Armageddon. And we know that's coming. That's coming. But he's saying, this is it. He's talking about the battle of Armageddon, which will take place in the Israel area, for it is near at hand. Now, can you imagine? He's saying this. It is near at hand. That battle that so many people talk about, they really don't even know what they're talking about, because they don't know the scriptures. The battle of Armageddon. We know that is after the coming of the Lord, when the rapture of the church takes place and we're in heaven. And during the 7 years, there's the great tribulation at the midway. And then Jesus comes back with us and sets his foot on the Mount Olivet. Mount of Olives. Then after the period of time, the battle of Armageddon takes place. And you might say, that battle of Armageddon will be just about every country, every place will be against Israel, trying to destroy it. And at the end, when they think they're about to be destroyed, God will come in and stop it. So, let me tell you this. If the prophet Joel said that is near at hand, how much more you think the rapture of the church is? Think about it. And that was written many, many years ago, people. Thousands of years ago. And we know the word of God is true, people. The kingdom of God, Jesus, is about to split those eastern skies. And it could be in 2017. Man, watch Israel and everything that happens to it. This last week blew me away with the UN Council and what they did to Israel. Let me tell you. I told Jolene, I said, oh my Lord, we better watch out for our country. We better watch out for our president that's in there right now. For him to allow that to go on, that is not good. We've always been a country that helps Israel, because the word of God says, those that bless Israel, I will bless, and those that curse Israel, I will curse. And let me tell you, from what I'm hearing, thank God, the next president that's coming in likes Israel. And hopefully we'll roll back the tide of that happening. Because let me tell you, it will affect this country. If he doesn't roll it back, and I'm praying, Lord, help him. From what I've seen, it's been good. We have to, and let me tell you, things are about to happen. But I tell you, we need to keep our eyes on the eastern skies. Keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes upon our God in 2017. Because God is coming. And let me tell you, preachers aren't preaching it anymore. They're not even saying it anymore, that Jesus is coming. But the word explicitly says, I'm coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. If the battle of Armageddon and all those things against Israel is about to happen, and Joel said it is near at hand, how much more near is the coming of our Lord and Savior upon the earth? People, we need to get the word of God out. We need to share with people. Stand up for the things of God. Stand up for what the truth is about. Stand up for your God and don't back down. You might say, well, you know, I don't want to argue, but let me tell you, stand up for what is truth and right. Stand up and don't take the mouth of fools. Because the word of God says a fool is one that doesn't know the word of God. That's a fool. That's what the Bible says. A fool is one that doesn't know the word of God. Well educated to God is one that knows the word of God. Not a 4-year degree at a college. Now there's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't educate you. It's the word of God. And let me tell you, we need to stand for truth, people. Stand for truth. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Do all you can this year to share the gospel. Do all you can to put a foot in the door when somebody opens it, that Jesus is the only way. Put a foot in the door when somebody says, well, I don't know if Jesus is coming. And you say, well, look, well, this is what the word of God says. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. It might be 2017. We don't know. But if it was near 2,000 years ago, well, before that, that's when Jesus came. So it's probably about 3,000 years, four, from the time Joel wrote it, that it was near. How much more is it now, today? The gospel of Jesus Christ has to go forth with power and authority like never before. Let God reign in your hearts and lives like never before. Let the word of God permeate from inside of you. And let me tell you, it'll keep us out of trouble as the word of God comes in and changes us on the inside. See, we can't change ourselves. It's only the word of God and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke all the powers of sin upon each and every human life upon the earth. He broke it. And all we got to do is put our faith in Christ and what he did. And he breaks those things on the inside of us and helps us to live a life free of those things. Free of those things. Free of those things. Not in bondage to it, but free. Breaking the bondages in our minds and in our hearts. That's the power of our God. Now you could put up that last scripture, Joel 2:21. Joel 2:21 says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The last song we sang was, how great is our God. He's still great. He was great in the beginning of our beginning. He's been there forever. He was great in the beginning of our beginning. He was great when he made Adam and Eve. He was great when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt miraculously. He was great when he turned to his son Jesus and asked him, would you go and die upon the cross? He was great when Jesus came and was born of a virgin. He was great when Jesus died on the cross. And let me tell you, he's great because he's coming again. Our Savior is coming. And let me tell you, 2017 will be a great year for you and your family if you put the Word of God first, if you pray and seek Him with all your heart, and do what He tells you to do. He will miraculously flow through your life. Now you might say, well, what if I end up in jail like Paul? That's okay. If you're doing the will of the Father, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, Paul. He was beaten 5 times, minus one. He was shipwrecked. All kinds of things happened to him. Beaten with rods. And yet he still stood for the gospel's sake. Because he stood for what God wanted him to stand for. People, we got to be tough. We have to be tough. We have to have the armor of a tough armor on the outside of us, people. Paul stood the test. We have to be tough. Just because somebody says something about you that's not truth and it hurts, you have to be tough. Let me tell you, in the New Testament, those 12 disciples and Paul, if they didn't have their faith in Christ and would have been tough on the outside, they never could have stood for what was right. Because they went through some hard times. We have to be tough, people. Let me tell you, the news media, excuse me, the news media doesn't like Christians. Honestly, they hate Christians. They don't. The news media doesn't like you. Half the church world doesn't like us. But that's okay. We stand firm and do what God... Thank you. We stand firm and do what God wants. This year, stand firm. Don't be swayed by doctrine. Don't be swayed by the world. Don't be swayed by evil. Stand firm. Stand firm. Tell the enemy where he's going. He's going to be bound with chains for 1,000 years. And let loose. And it's coming, enemy. You hear me. You're going to be bound for 1,000 years because the Bible says so. And you're going to be released for just a short period. But let me tell you, your home is back where you belong. And that's hell itself. You know, it's an amazing thing. Hell was made for the demons that rejected God and rebelled against him. But the old slewfoot's not there now. You know why he doesn't want to go there? Because it's not a good place. And we don't want a single soul that we know of to split hell wide open. We don't want that. We got to stand. Stand and pray. Come against the evil. Come against the evil upon the earth and break its chains and bondages upon people's lives. Breaking it. You might say, well, how do you know if it's broken? You come against it in the name of Jesus. In Luke, it says, the name that is above all names, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise be unto our God. It says, and we know this, that the demons tremble every time they hear the name Jesus. They tremble. You know why? Because they can't take the power of his name. When Jesus is spoken, that's why when we end prayer, we say in Jesus' name, because we believe that Jesus is moving upon that situation. That's why as we pray and we pray for people's souls, we come against the chains of bondages in Jesus' name, because it's that name, not in my name or your name. But it's in that name that all bondages have been broken. It's him that paid the price on Calvary's cross. And let me tell you, 2017, we're going to see the miracles that they said they saw many years ago in those great revivals. We're going to see God move like we've never seen him move before. It won't be just a church service. It'll be a worship, a revival unto our God as we gather together and we say, let me share what God has done this week. Well, look, let me top that one. Let me share what God did this week. And look, miracle after miracle, because we're going to be in the flow of what God is doing. And people will flock to come and hear and receive what God is doing. Because you see, let me tell you this. For the most part, and it's almost time. People are tired of just religion. You don't know how many people I talk to. I mean, it must be constantly every week different people that are just so disillusioned with church. I mean, and I try to encourage them. I mean, I do. I mean, and I'm on the other end saying, I know what you're talking about, because what you're saying is truth. But just try to encourage them to be in church. Because you know why? Remember when the children of Israel, and I'm going to close with this. They had a great, God took them out of Egypt. God opened the Red Sea. Can you imagine? And they walked on dry ground. They got to the other side, and then when they got to the other side, it says that as the enemy was approaching, coming, that the walls came caving in of water and destroyed the enemy. They got to the other side, and man, Miriam and them took their tambourines and started praising God and honoring God for what he had done for them. But it didn't take long that Moses went up to the mountain to pray. And his face, they said it was like the glow of the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And he worshiped God, just worshiping him and doing all that. And Aaron, his helper, was down with the people. And the people became delusional. Whenever the church doesn't have a godly leader, the church becomes delusional. And they will look to find a God. And it doesn't matter what it is. That's a sermon right there. But I'll share it with you. And God told Moses, go down. My people have forsaken me. Go down. And God told him, they have turned. They've made this golden image of a calf. The riches that God gave them in Egypt, they used it to build a calf. The riches that God gives us, don't let us use it to build our own sanctuaries. And that's all. And Moses came down, and look, he was upset. He had that calf. He took that and he melted it down. Put it in the water, made him drink it. My God, he was mad. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You need a leader. You need a pastor. You and I need a church. And God has placed us here. And in doing that, God will keep things away. God will protect the families. God will protect evil from coming. You might say, well, why didn't Aaron do something? They went to him and he said, well, let's do this and this, whatever. I mean, my God. But you know, I often wonder, you know, when God chose Moses, what did Moses say? I can't speak. Huh? And because of that can't speak stuff, God had to bring Aaron to help him. Just think. If Moses would have said, okay, now, Lord, you're going to have to do something with my speech, whatever it was. And God would have healed him, and maybe they wouldn't have looked to Aaron to build this calf. But 2017, let's make it a year that we put God first and hit the cause of Christ first. That we lay down some things that we need to lay down and let Christ be Christ in our hearts and lives. Let's rededicate our hearts to the purpose of Christ, saying, Father, from this day forward, help me to accomplish your will. Would you please stand as we take part in communion this morning?